Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So on Wednesday, this married woman is at work in Alabama, in Hoover, Alabama. And Hoover is the town where the SEC plays their baseball tournament every year. And the woman is at work in Hoover, and she ends up going on a video chat with her husband. But the problem is, her husband is with another woman, and that other woman is holding a gun to her husband's head. So the woman who's at the married woman who's at work in Hoover, Alabama, ends up taking a screenshot of this woman holding a gun to her husband's head and then sends out the screenshot on her other social media platforms saying, "This crazy bitch, Kiana Kamen, just called me on live chat with a gun at my husband's head. I don't know if he is okay. I don't know exactly where he is in Tuscaloosa. Can somebody please help me? I'm at work, and I'm about to lose it. I think she shot him." And then the woman had to go back to work, wherever she was working at. I know things during the day, you know, when you're at your job can be a little bit hectic. I know things can get a little bit crazy sometimes while you're at work.
But to answer your question, no, I've never engaged in video chatting with anyone while I'm working. I just knew that was coming my way.
Can you imagine this, though? Come to find out, the woman did shoot the man in the head. The man is in critical condition in an Alabama hospital. That's the latest that I heard. But the victim's wife posted on Facebook, posted the picture of the woman, and the woman holding a gun. And what's funny about this screenshot is, I don't know if you're listening right now, if you have done much video chatting, but when you video chat, there's a picture of you. It's a little thumbnail.
Yeah, like little postage stamp.
Yeah, like a little stamp in the right hand corner. So not only do you see the full video screenshot of the woman holding a gun to this woman's husband's head in the middle of the day on Wednesday, but then you see the little icon, the little stamp-like photo in the upper right-hand corner of the woman's husband,
right,
who's chatting. She wanted to chat with her husband, but the next thing you know, she's chatting with the woman her husband is with, and that woman happens to be holding a gun to her husband's head.
As it turns out, though, he was shot in the torso. He was not shot in the head.
He was shot in the torso, but he was listed in critical condition.
Correct.
The last we knew, I don't know the last few hours. If his
we
condition
have a team,
has been upgraded,
we have a team keeping an eye on it. But that's all we know right now.
So then, 2 hours after that original message that I just read, 2 hours after that, the wife posted, She expletive shot him. I'm about to lose my expletive mind. I have to go back to work at my job. I wonder if she was having, I wonder how her work day went on Wednesday after dealing with this on a live chat.
I wonder if she was like customer service or she serves the public in some way. That would be tough. You know, your husband's just been shot.
But evidently that post, that social media post that I read, evidently it helped the police because they found her husband, and he was with another woman, unfortunately, and really, unfortunately, the other woman was, the other woman said that she, this married man's girlfriend. And so, police were able to find the suspect, Kiana Latrice Cammon was her name. And how about that? She was arrested, brought to the violent crimes unit for questioning. And it was at that point when they brought her in that detectives learned the 30-year-old victim was shot during a domestic argument. If you're with your side hustle, is that still considered domestic?
Sure. Mm-hmm. If they're foreign, then it would be an international situation.
If he was married and the girlfriend happened to be from France or someplace?
Sure.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay, then it's not domestic. I got it.
Glad to be of service.
Now, if this guy survives the shooting from his girlfriend,
we're pulling out all the stops.
Well, no, there's probably going to be either another domestic with his wife or a domestic period with his wife who was chatting with him on Wednesday while she was at her job in the middle of the day. And, Booster, that would be like right now, let's say I was married. and we're doing
oh, come on, stop.
And we're doing this show, and then all of a sudden I pulled up on the computer screen my wife in some hotel room or some room with some man who he was holding a gun to her head.
You haven't even figured out Alta Vista yet, and you're going to be video chatting during the show. Come on.
Well, I'm trying to make a parallel here.
Oh.
I'm trying to draw.
Okay. Sharpen your pencil.
And I hope the wife who ended up taking that screenshot of that video of the woman holding a gun to her husband in a room, and then she ended up sending that out, I hope she doesn't get in trouble for doing that while she was supposed to be working.
Right.
Because it looks like she actually caught a lunatic and could have, if this guy survived the torso shot, saved the life of her husband.
So what do you think her job is? It doesn't say in the story.
What does she do in Hoover, Alabama?
Right. What is there to do in Hoover, Alabama?
Hoover's a nice town. There was a town in Hoover there was a high school, Hoover High, that was featured about 10 or 12 years ago on a big MTV series about a high school football team and Yeah, it was a reality show. But I have no idea what this wife does in Hoover, where she was able to not only video chat with this woman who was holding a gun to her husband, she took the screenshot of her, and she's got a couple of good screenshots of the woman holding the gun, and the woman looks insane. The woman looks crazy. But the wife...
Well, that could be her job, too. You know, we all have stress in the workplace.
But it's interesting because she knew the woman's name with the gun. She said, "This crazy bitch, Kiana Cammon, just called me on live." Oh, so the wife wasn't looking for the husband on live cam. It was the husband's side woman who he was with, Kiana Cammon. Just called up the husband's wife on side cam.
Maybe on his phone.
Could have done it that way.
You know?
But technology is incredible, isn't it? Isn't it amazing?
Let me tell you something. Facebook video chat is really cool. I have done it a couple of times. Not while working, but it's for the most part, it's crystal clear. It's really cool. You don't have to pay anything for it.
Well, I think that might have been Facebook Live might have been where these screenshots came from.
Well, but not Facebook Live. I'm talking about Facebook video chat. You and I right now could do Facebook video chat, and it would have the postage stamp-sized icon that we would see of each other atop. Like I would be looking at you, but like you mentioned before, I would see my own self in the picture-in-picture.
In the stamp.
It's not Facebook Live. It's not going anywhere. It's just between us.
Oh, interesting.
And that's what's really cool, yeah.
Even though you and I right now are sitting about 3 feet from each other live, if that's something we wanted to do, we could do that.
I think we should do it right now. Let's test it. Well, during this break.
Well, wife watches in horror on Facebook as husband is held at gunpoint before Tuscaloosa shooting. That's the story there. And again, we don't know how the guy is. All we know is he took one to the torso. And then his wife's probably going to give him one if he does survive that, because he's in some hotel or some room, wherever he was, with this other woman who says that she's the man's girlfriend. Ah, relationships in 2018. All right, coming up on the show, someone else has tried to kill Steve Scalise, at least threatened to, our congressman. Stay tuned for that here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So, in Tennessee, a man just got arrested at a traffic stop, and he had a bunch of heroin hidden in his rectum.
Like a party at your house.
Not smack.
No.
Nah, you know, heroin, dirt, junk.
H.
Garbage, yeah, H.
Horse. I used to love it on the old Hawaii 5-0. When Jack Lord would, they'd have a big bust and he'd pull out a brick, just solid, and he would cut into it. He would just put like a little bit on his tongue, and it's pure horse.
Shanghai Sally, just one taste.
That's right.
No, you don't mess with that. Although we have such a bad opioid problem with people being addicted to opioids in this country, Bruce.
Yes, I do. Yes, we do.
And the price of opioids are pretty high. People are turning from opioids, and they're going to get heroin. They're going to get smacked because it's cheaper. But anyways, this big traffic bust in
Tennessee.
In Tennessee, they pulled a bunch of heroin out of this guy's backside. It gives a totally new meaning to junk in the trunk.
Pretty long way to go. I bought into it. I will say that had me hooked.
It's an issue we have to deal with as a nation.
Yes.
And doctors are blaming themselves because several years ago they're the ones who just were prescribing opioids to people like they were candy. They were Tic Tacs.
Right. The problem with that is that the heroin that is on the streets today is not cut with Drano like it was in the Bronx in the 70s. New York City. It's the heroin apparently that is gripping cities like Cincinnati, Dayton, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, Southern Indiana, the Midwest.
Oh, Atlanta.
It's
everywhere.
It's the good stuff, apparently.
Yeah. Much like marijuana. It's not like the stuff from years ago. People have figured out how to make really great stuff.
Right.
All right. Hey, coming up, John Elway, the general manager of the Denver Broncos. He says that they offered Colin Kaepernick a contract, and he said no.
Well, there. We're done with that then. No more mention of him. No more talking about how he's being colluded out of his profession.
And if you're going to Saints games, we've got some updates on ticket information.
And parking restrictions.
Stay tuned for those reports.
Call in sick if you have to.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock.
Changes on the way to regulations regarding parking and ticketing for not just Saints games, but all NFL games. But first, you have a Kaepernick update.
Yeah, un momento, por favor.
Yes.
Give me a minute here. John Elway, who now runs the Denver Broncos, general manager, makes all the moves, he says Colin Kaepernick had his chance to be a Bronco, but turned it down. And now some people are saying Elway maybe shouldn't have said that legally, because Colin Kaepernick is suing the NFL for collusion, that they all colluded against him to keep him out, to blackball him.
Hmm.
He says that the Broncos once gave the embattled former NFL quarterback a chance to be on the team, but he turned them down. Elway's comments came while speaking to the press following the end of their team camp. The former quarterback was asked whether Kaepernick could be seen as a viable candidate to fill a backup role in Denver, to which Elway answered, quote, Colin had his chance to be here. We offered him a contract. He didn't take it. And this is when Kaepernick was still on the San Francisco 49ers. And remember, Kaepernick walked away from a guaranteed, what was it, $11 or $12 million to test free agency or whatever he was doing. You know, there are people that are familiar with Colin Kaepernick, Brewster, that blame all of his behavioral changes on the girl, the woman he's dating. They're saying he's dating a militant woman.
Right.
And she's the reason why he walked away from the $11 or $12 million guaranteed coming to him. He ripped up that contract with the 49ers. And then nobody offered him anything once he got on a knee and said that he's protesting. And
so you could say, well, maybe John Elway spoke out of turn or told a tale out of school. But yet John Elway was one of several NFL executives who have been deposed, who have given testimony. I don't know if testimony is the right word.
Well, because
they've been given a deposition in the collusion suit.
Yeah.
So you would think that John Elway would be aware of the list of things that he can say and can't say regarding that.
Well, he's an NFL Hall of Famer, John Elway.
Well, but he's not, like most NFL players, he's not, shall we say, he's not an attorney. That was just my first thing. I wonder if he said something that maybe he shouldn't have. But again, having been deposed, you would think that he would know what he can and can't say.
Yeah.
Whether he's a Hall of Famer or not, that has nothing to do with what happens when they stick a mic in his face.
Just throwing that in there.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. He said prior to the 2016 season, so this is going back a couple of years, John Elway, that's what he was referring to. He referred to a trade offer made to Kaepernick prior to the 2016 season while he was still on the San Francisco 49ers. The deal was reportedly not accepted because they said, we'll trade for you, but we're gonna reduce your pay a little bit.
Hmm.
And evidently that didn't fly with Kaepernick, and Kaepernick ultimately chose to stay with the 49ers, and then he chose to rip up that contract. So that's that.
Do you think there's collusion there?
I don't know if there's textbook definition of collusion, but there's no doubt that once Kaepernick took a knee, that a bunch of these guys said, we don't want to deal with this headache.
You would think there would be somebody, some ownership group in the NFL that would figure out a way to maximize it. And, you know, there have been very unpopular players in all major league sports who have put fannies in the seats, and that's the number one job. It is not to be upstanding citizens. It is not to be great Americans. The NFL and other businesses, including other major league sports, job one is to put fannies in the seats.
And there is no doubt that there are people out there that would show up just for him if a team signed him.
Well, and there's the opportunity, you know, with every downside, there is an opportunity. There's an opportunity. Maybe it's already passed now. Maybe too much water has passed over the bridge, but there is an opportunity to make Colin Kaepernick a hero. to make the situation a hero, to spin it a different way.
Again,
but no one is willing to put the time or the effort or the money into that.
Is there 30 or 32 teams in the NFL? I think 32.
I think 32. I think Major League Baseball is 30.
Yeah, so if there's 32 teams in the NFL, I mean, there's no one, I think everybody agrees, there's no one that can say he's not one of the best 64 guys to do that job, to either be a backup, if they're keeping a couple of quarterbacks on every team.
Well, is he keeping himself in shape, though? I mean, you're talking about Kaepernick at the end of, you know, how long has it been since he's played? 2 years?
Well, look, he did lead his team to the Super Bowl, and he was within one drive away. He was within a few yards away right here in New Orleans in the Superdome.
And then the power went out.
When they lost, yeah. And then after that, he kind of went down a little bit. The talent around him, his team wasn't as good, and so his results weren't as good. And then he lost his starting job, and then he starts dating a militant, and the militant is the one who, in my opinion, and who led him to do all of this.
Right.
And now he's suing the NFL for collusion, saying that they're keeping him out.
Surprised we don't hear more about the girlfriend.
That's a good point.
All right, tonight is the Saints preseason home opener. There are a couple of changes here. Parking policy. You can get all of this at the Saints website, but for those of you who have the steering wheel in your hands and you can't do that, parking policy. Due to increased security measures, not only at the Superdome, but at all NFL stadiums, parking in certain areas and the closer you get to the stadium itself, vehicles are now going to be vehicles parking in certain areas of the Mercedes-Benz Superdome parking garages will now be subject to security screenings at every home game. That's the vehicle. SMG New Orleans will implement enhanced vehicle screening of all vehicles that pass through and park within close proximity of the building.
So they're
if that's you, allow extra time.
They're going to search your car.
They could.
There's a much better chance this year that you're going to get your car searched than in the past.
The closer you park to the Superdome itself, the likelihood that your vehicle is subject to canine search.
That's something.
Now, something that I think affects a greater number of people, and one of the cool things is when you buy tickets, whether it be through Ticketmaster or NFLTicketExchange.com, you have the option to print at home. And that prints out, that creates a PDF file, and you print your tickets at home. Guess what? You can't use those anymore. Not only here in New Orleans, but with all NFL markets, ticketing policies will prohibit printed PDF tickets from being accepted for entry into the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Now, season ticket holders, you get the booklet or whatever it is, and those of you who have individual game actual paper tickets, of course, those are okay. What they're trying to get you to do is to download either the Saints mobile app or Ticketmaster or SeatGeek or one of those that actually shows the QR code or the barcode or whatever. So if you're one of the people who prints out the PDF file and uses that as your tickets for entry, nope.
Yep. No more. No more paper tickets.
No more printed at home paper tickets. Let's make that clear.
They want you to hold up your cell phone and they want to scan your cell phone.
Right. But if you're a season ticket holder or you have actual foil printed tickets, those are good.
All right. I love football and I'm excited. I'm excited that it's back and I'm excited to watch it. I just wish all of this other horse dung would go away.
Well, in 9 years, I've never heard you use that term. Mm.
The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. All right, it's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So we've talked about a big problem they have in San Francisco where they have so many homeless people and the homeless people are just going to the bathroom in the street. And we're not talking about number one. They're dropping deuces all over the streets of San Francisco.
Well, they do number one, too, but that's not the problem.
And so because they drop deuces all over there, They had to, and this is what we talked about. They've had to come up with little maps for the tourists and stuff where people should stay away from.
Or if you're into that, I mean, there are all kinds of fetishes. Maybe you want to go see that. There's an app for that as well.
And so instead of addressing their homeless problem, and again, this is either the richest or second richest city, most expensive city to live in America. If you want to pay rent or you want to pay mortgage, this is either the most expensive or the second most expensive to live in this country.
Right. And gasoline is a low $5 a gallon.
It's incredible how expensive it is there. Well, now, instead of addressing the homelessness problem in San Francisco, the city has launched the Poop Patrol to clean human waste. They have hired people, and that's their only job, is to go around the city of San Francisco and clean up people's crap. Right. That is their job.
Right.
And I'm sure they get paid like $15 an hour. You know how people in fast food want $15 an hour?
Sure.
You know, because it's so expensive in San Francisco. They have hired people to go clean up the streets of San Francisco, and that's their only job.
Yes.
And I always thought an entry-level position at a strip joint was probably the job I would want least in my life.
Right.
Cleaning up that.
It turns out it's actually the Poop Patrol.
That's right. I think entry-level position at a strip joint has just been replaced by the Poop Patrol in San Francisco as the job that, and again, I respect anyone who goes to work every day, but this would be the job I would want least. Coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford.
I know you're going to do a couple of politicians that said things that got them in a little bit of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Before you do that, I want to do one quick one. And people got their panties in a bunch a little bit when Donald Trump addressed the media in his comments, as he is often wont to do, and started out talking about Aretha Franklin, and there was one particular moment that some people thought was inappropriate.
Well, I want to begin today by expressing my condolences to the family of a person I knew well. She worked for me on numerous occasions. She was terrific. Aretha Franklin, on her passing, she's brought joy to millions of lives, and her extraordinary legacy will thrive and inspire many generations to come. She was given a great gift from God, her voice, and she used it well. People loved Aretha. She's a special woman, so I just want to pass on my warmest best wishes and sympathies to her family.
Some people were a little upset that he said that she had worked for him, when actually she had done shows at his casinos, like many performers and entertainers have done and do.
Sure.
But it just sounds like... you know, well, she worked for me on the plantation.
She cleaned my toilets.
Yes, something. Yes, people took it that way.
Of course, some people will go right to that.
Right.
But no matter what Trump does or says, people that don't like him. It's that simple.
Of course.
But what are you going to do? Yeah, R.I.P. Aretha. We talked about that late in the show yesterday. You know, one thing I learned about Aretha yesterday, Brewster, which was very, you know, they said she had a tough life.
What's that?
She gave birth to her first child when she was 12 years old.
Mm.
That's horrifying.
Mm-mm.
But she was something else. You know, you're not given the name the Queen of Soul for nothing. And so she was something else. So I do have this story here. A couple of different politicians said things recently that made news. Up in the state of Michigan, a Michigan state Democrat apologized yesterday after calling her Asian opponent Ching Chong. That's what she called her Asian opponent.
Was that wrong?
And her Asian opponent's campaign staff. She called them Ching Chong's State Representative Betty Cook Scott,
who happens to be African-American,
came under fire after she hurled the anti-Asian Ching Chong slur at State Representative Stephanie Chang. See, it's Chang. It's not Ching or Chong.
Was that Rang?
It's Chang. During the primary election last week, she referred to her opponent as Ching Chang and Ching Chong. Outside, to voters outside of polling precincts.
Right.
Some people are going to vote. And here's this woman saying, don't vote for Ching Chang or Ching Chong. Vote for me.
She said, quote, I humbly apologize to Representative Chang, her husband, Mr. Gray, and to the broader Asian American community for those disparaging remarks. In the divisive age we find ourselves in, I should not contribute further to that divisiveness, end of quote. Ironically, Mr. Gray, she refers to as Sean Gray, and that is Ms. Chang's husband. He's African-American. The plot thickens.
Boy, oh boy.
What a mess in Michigan.
So that happened up in Michigan. It's something when these politicians say something, like the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, saying right. America was, we've never been great.
Right.
What an awful thing to say.
His response to make America great again is, America's never been that great.
How many people died for this country, and you're going to say that? I'll tell you, if the voters in New York vote for that guy again, they deserve all the high taxes that they get because he loves that, and they deserve everything they get.
So meanwhile, in Broward County, Florida.
Yeah, down there in Hallandale Beach. Familiar with that area? The mayor said to the female.
Don't give it away.
Okay.
Let me try. Okay, so the mayor of Hallandale Beach, Keith London.
Yes.
Is having a budget discussion with the city's city commission's budget commission on Monday night.
And that commissioner's name is Annabelle Lima Taub.
Correct. And her mother owns a spa, which happens to sell, skin bleaching cream. So here is a little bit of that exchange from beautiful Broward County.
And see how much, or see where my earned income came from last year.
I know where your earned income came.
I'm sure you do. Was it getting my sphincter bleached? Is that what I earn my income for?
Probably.
Oh, okay. Now that would be you and your family business.
I have a college education.
Congratulations. 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 Sphincter bleaching is a very up-and-coming business.
That's right. That's what I do, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Deflection is the best. That's your best defense.
Well, you want to make it personal, Commissioner? We'll make it personal all day long.
So if you're not familiar with what he just said.
And the audio there, the reason for the mismatch is he was clearly on mic and she was off mic as they recorded this. So to get her levels boosted up, when she speaks, it's a little bit noisy. But at one point she says, look, I have a college education, in part of her exchange to the mayor.
And the mayor of Hallandale Beach, Florida, Keith London, was talking about getting his sphincter bleached.
Don't think all the Kardashians do that?
Yeah, well, I guess that's a hot new trend.
Right. Because that, well, I'm not going to describe.
Sphincter bleaching?
Well, they don't refer, they don't call it that. It's just referred to as anal bleaching. And as we age, things in different parts of our pigmentation takes over in different parts of our bodies. Is there music with this? I feel like I'm reading a high school film strip.
No, but you're right when, you know, places like South Florida and Southern California.
Those aren't the places I was talking about. Well, I was talking about on the human body.
Well, they people down there, they've been spending money to get their sphincters.
Yes, down there. Now you've caught on.
Bleached.
Yes, down there.
Hmm. Well, now, all of a sudden, she's saying that you talk to me. How dare you talk to me that way? Where's hashtag me too? This is a hashtag me too moment. And not talking about getting their sphincters bleached, but being labeled as someone that's how you make your money, right. You and your mother in that horrible business.
Well, apparently it's up and coming. Who knew?
He thinks it's an ass backwards business. I've never heard a mayor use the word sphincter before.
I'm sure it's happened. In the history of mankind, it has to have happened. There's no first for anything.
Now, is that worse than what the woman in Detroit or in Michigan said when she called her Asian opponent Ching Chong?
Which is worse? Is this this worse in Broward County or worse in Michigan?
Yeah,
I would say worse in Michigan.
Yeah, I think that's worse too, because at least sphincter is a prettier word than.
Well, two things about. Now I've lost her name. Annabelle Lima Tom, the ponytailed commissioner turned appointed mayor. A ponytail commissioner turned appointed mayor. London, the current mayor, has a history of inappropriate remarks. In 2017, he told Broward investigators that a fellow commissioner was a, quote, migrant worker, end of quote. He wasn't. Earlier this year, he was recorded asking a city employee if he performed a particular act while in prison. So apparently, the mayor, Keith London, Hallandale Beach mayor, Keith London, will say anything. He's no holds barred.
How about that? But whenever a politician uses the word sphincter several times, it's probably going to make news.
Can I ask that you don't use it anymore? We've got it. We got it.
It's Bayou. 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. I think the word sphincter is Yiddish.
Come on.
I think it's Yiddish. Brewster, I think it's Yiddish.
You wouldn't know Yiddish if it jumped up and bit you on the sphincter.
Hey. I lived in Miami Beach for 5 years.
What are you doing, Rodney? Hey, tough crowd on the pool.
Tell me I don't know Yiddish, and I think that's where the word sphincter
Miami,
comes from.
Right, Miami.
Like my shekel.
Now, careful.
That kind of thing.
Careful.
Hey, did you see this? Healthy men can earn up to $1,500 a month as sperm donors. You guys might be surprised to learn how easy it is to turn your hobby into a home business. We'll figure. All right, coming up on the show, someone threatened the life of our congressman, Steve Scalise, the House Majority Whip.
And the dumbest thing we read all week.
Stay tuned for those reports here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Now, I was just thinking about that song right there. That is the ultimate stalker's anthem. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. It's Friday. It's about 8:35 or so. And this is where we tell you the dumbest thing I read all week.
And runners-up.
Yeah, we have a few runners-up today.
We are jam-packed. I shall start it off. Timely is today's headlines. Argument over Aretha Franklin leads to shooting, witness says. Did I just take one of yours?
You had that one, too?
Okay. Dateline, Suffolk, Virginia. A witness to a shooting says an argument over who played or would play Aretha Franklin in a movie about her life led to shots being fired. Suffolk police responded to the shooting Thursday morning. A witness tells TV station WKTR he heard two people in a nearby barber shop arguing over whether Oscar winner Halle Berry portrayed the Queen of Soul in a biopic. Fight reportedly spilled onto the streets, turned physical. One of the men involved produced a firearm, shot the other man at least once. Both men transported to a nearby hospital for treatment. The TV station reports the gunshot victim's brother said that he was in serious condition.
Yeah, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever read in my life. Not just this week.
Exactly.
Can you imagine?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what's interesting, Aretha Franklin wanted Halle Berry to play her. Halle Berry says she doesn't have the vocal chops.
Right.
And so that's why they gave the gig to Jennifer Hudson.
That's a much better singing-wise, a much better fit. And just visually, I could picture Jennifer Hudson over Halle Berry. Halle Berry would have to gain a lot of weight to play Aretha in certain portions of her life. In fact, most portions of her life.
Well, great actors and actresses do that. Remember Robert De Niro? How much weight did he gain for Raging Bull?
Like 80 pounds?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Play Jake LaMotta.
All right, so I've thrown things asunder by taking that one. So now you
have... I'm still good.
Okay.
I still have one runner-up, and then I've got the...
All right, runner-up number two, then.
Woman faked her own kidnapping to try and get $600 in ransom money from her father. You know, if you're going to do something like this, you should maybe have a little bit bigger goal. You're going to fake your own kidnapping for $600? Abigail Farley, 19 years old, was arrested for faking her own kidnapping. Her father reported her missing on Monday and received ransom texts on Tuesday. One text reportedly asked him to pay $600 for his daughter's safe return. Another text dropped the ransom to $400 to make him hurry up and do it faster, and gave her father a drop-off location. And then, of course, they ended up finding the daughter when they...
What a mess.
Yeah, I mean... You probably could have just asked them for the $600 or the $400 without faking your own kidnapping and doing it through that way.
Right.
You got another runner-up?
Yes, I do. Family, according to family, police used taser. You probably saw this story around social media a lot. Police used taser to stun 87-year-old woman cutting dandelions. Dateline, Chatsworth, Georgia. A Georgia police chief said an officer was justified in using a taser to stun an 87-year-old woman after she didn't obey commands to drop a knife in her hand. Martha Al-Bashara was charged with criminal trespass and obstructing an officer last Friday when police held her at gunpoint before bringing her to the ground with a jolt from the electrified prongs of a stun gun. Her relatives say she doesn't speak English and was merely cutting out dandelions with a kitchen knife. I think we've all done that. Near her home in Chatsworth, that's about 85 miles north of Atlanta, an 87-year-old woman with a knife still has the ability to hurt an officer, says Chatsworth Police Chief Josh Etheridge. He tells that to the Daily Citizen News of Dalton. There's no anger, there's no malice in this. In my opinion, Etheridge says, it was the lowest use of force that could have been used to simply stop the threat at the time.
So the cops thought that 87-year-old woman could have cut them instead of the flowers?
Look, it's a human being with a knife, a kitchen knife. Yeah. I mean, you don't know. Family members say Martha spent about 2 hours at the Murray County Jail before being released Friday, and that she still has trouble sleeping and is nervous about going outside. So it has a happy ending, in other words.
Okay. And I just wanted to say one thing before we get to the winner.
Okay.
The story I just told about the 19-year-old woman who faked her own kidnapping to try to get the $600 ransom from her father.
You made it up.
No.
Oh.
That happened in Corbin, Kentucky.
Corbin, Kentucky, which is the original Kentucky Fried Chicken, is in Corbin, Kentucky.
Oh, really?
Yes, you can go to the first one.
So you got the original Kentucky Fried Chicken and this nut.
Yes.
But I just said that because I didn't say where it was, and I hear you saying Dateline. That's why I wanted to go back and let you know that story happened in Corbin, Kentucky.
I'm stealing that from the late legendary Jim Healy in KMPC Los Angeles. And now,
here is the dumbest thing I read all week. We put a lot of work into this show, and sometimes some of the stuff that we read a lot of stories.
When do we put work into it, though?
Well,
reading is not really work. Reading on the air is work for some people.
Naked man breaks into liquor store, steals one can of soda, walks out. And it's all on video. I might put this on the Bayou Facebook page next. This is in Georgia, Fourths County, Georgia.
All right.
A local business owner expressed surprise that a naked man broke into his liquor store, sold or grabbed one can of soda and then walked out.
Maybe he was only thirsty for the one can.
Well, we know he's a minimalist. Police said the man used a hammer to break into the Forths County liquor store. And that is a spelled F-O-R-S-Y-T-H.
That'd be Forsyth. What's wrong with you?
That's Forsyth?
Forsyth.
Okay. Well, there you go then.
I was calling... actor, you know, Charlie's Angels, John Forsyth.
Okay. Oh, that's not John Forths.
What did I say about reading?
Yeah, this is all on surveillance video. A naked man walks into a liquor store after he used a hammer. I don't know where he held the hammer.
Now you're bragging.
But he used a hammer. He walked in. He didn't even take any booze. He goes right for the soda, takes one can, and then walked out.
Well, he was going to grab a 40, but he didn't have anywhere to hide it. Thank you.
How about that? Usually you would think someone would take as much as they possibly can. But again, if you're naked, where are you going to put all of the booze, all of the hooch?
Well, he could have stolen a donut or maybe two.
Yeah. Well.
Well, there it is.
Yeah, the naked man breaking into a liquor store, stealing one can of soda and then walking out is the dumbest thing that I read all week. All right, coming up next. Steve Scalise, our congressman, as if last year wasn't enough. He took bullets. Someone just gave him another death threat. This poor guy. Stay tuned for that report here on Bayou 95.7.
May the fourth be with you.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So as if our congressman and House Majority Whip Steve Scalise hasn't had it bad enough. I mean, they almost killed him on a baseball field last year when they shot him. Some guy just got arrested for threatening, giving him a death threat. A 63-year-old nut named Carlos Bayonne. He was just newly indicted on charges of threatening to assault and murder United States Representative Steve Scalise of Louisiana and Kathy McMorris Rogers of Washington State. He just pleaded not guilty to leaving menacing messages on their voicemail recording.
Mm.
He just on their voicemail, he said, "Hey, listen, this message is for you and the people that sent you there. You are taking ours. We are taking yours. Anytime, anywhere. We know where they are. We are not going to feed them sandwiches. We are going to feed them lead. Make no mistake, you will pay." And then he said, "Ojo, oho, por ojo. Diente por diente." That's Spanish for eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
Hmm.
And I guess he wasn't happy about what was happening at the Mexican border with the families, the mothers being separated from their children, them being put in cages in Walmart and things like that.
Let's hope that he doesn't wind up involved in the next, you know, high-profile crime. And then we sit back and wonder, wow, why wasn't somebody watching this?
There you go. Well, there you go.
And so again, there he is.
Again, he was just indicted on that. And
Hope somebody keeps watching him.
You know, again, it's crazy politics. We talk about how politics, they interrupt rock and roll shows. They break up friendships. They lead to death threats. Look, I know it's serious stuff, and it's great to be passionate about it, but it's politics. That's all it is.
We got an email that we may look at in about in the next hour before we get out of here. Somebody taking me to task about how I say the onus is upon the consumer to know what they're going to see when they see entertainment.
Well, and look, and when it comes to the border issue, if people are mad at the way America is handling these women who are bringing these children, why aren't you mad at the women and the children? Look what the women, they're risking their lives and the lives of their children going through Mexico and going through all to get to the border. Our commercial free ride is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. It's about that time of the morning where we look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment...
It's time to have sex. Why today doesn't suck.
Did we change the title again? Maybe it could be Why Today Doesn't Suck. Parenthetically, it's time to have sex. I sound more like Mississippi than Texas. My Dr. Phil is, it's not all it could be.
Well, now Dr. Phil has that. It's part Texas, part Beverly Hills.
That's true.
When you're making $87 million a year
to
do that show, yeah.
August 17th.
Yeah, August 17th. It was today in 1993.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Random House gives Colin Powell the largest autobiography advance to date. They wanted to they wanted to hear what he had to say in his book. You know, it's interesting because now Omarosa's got that book out, and that's on Random Nut House. But today in 1993, Random House agrees to pay General Colin Powell an advance. Guess what? In 1993, the highest dollar.
Sorry, there's a delay today.
Oh, guess how much he got before he even wrote one word. They said, "Hey, we're gonna
$1 million
times six." Yeah, in 1993, $6 million they gave him for the rights to his autobiography
before he had written word one.
Yeah,
apparently,
while he was a pretty accomplished dude,
right. Can you imagine, if he could have been convinced to run for president, what do you think? What would the world be like? Would we still not have Saddam Hussein, not have Gaddafi?
Good question. You know why he didn't run, right?
Well, I haven't spoken to him recently.
Well, no, it's public knowledge.
What?
His wife told him, I'm afraid someone would shoot you and kill you because you're black and it's 1993 and that's why he didn't run. The book that Random House paid him to write, they gave him $6 million. My American Journey. It's a real good read, and he's a really fascinating guy and military hero. Old Colin Powell. August 17th. Well, don't make fun of me for this, Brewster.
Here we go.
Well, it's today in 1877.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday.
Close. Yeah. Billy the Kid kills his very first man.
Do you have a website just bookmarked that is today in Billy the Kid / Tombstone / Gunslinger history?
No, but I'm fascinated with the Old West.
I'm going to send you one.
There's only that one picture that we know of Billy the Kid. There's that one picture where he's standing there. He's got that goofy look.
He's in the California redwoods. He's turned around. No, that's Sasquatch. I'm sorry.
No. Yeah. Just like there's only the one picture of Bigfoot, there's only the one picture of Billy the Kid. He's got that goofy look on his face, and he's got the gun.
Are you suggesting that Sasquatch is Billy the Kid?
Though only a teenager at the time, Billy the Kid wounds an Arizona blacksmith who dies the next day. He was the famous outlaw's very first victim, old Billy the Kid. August 17th.
Happy National Massachusetts Day. Who do I look like? Brewster Domus? National, what is it? Massachusetts Day. No, they don't know why.
Well, I've got a couple of days, too.
Okay.
You're going to go there?
All right. Well, I did. I went there.
Today is also National Thrift Shop Day.
I saw that.
This year's theme, what's that smell?
Cracking yourself up there, huh? National Massachusetts Day on August 17th recognizes the first New England colony and the sixth state to join the Union. It just doesn't say why August 17th. I don't know. Maybe I need to get rid of this site.
As someone who went to college in that, I should say Commonwealth, because it's not really a state.
Right.
And someone who worked on the radio and lived there for many years, I was a homeowner in Massachusetts. It's a pretty wild place.
Also today, August 17th, is National Black Cat Appreciation Day. And let me just say this. There are a lot of people who associate black cats with bad luck and Friday the 13th and familiars to witches. Black cats, if you're a cat lover. Now, those of you who like dogs and dogs alone, just tune me out for a second and then come back. But if you're a cat lover and you've never owned a black cat, they are the sweetest, most lovable. I love black cats. Today, National Black Cat Appreciation Day.
Yeah,
I love black cats.
And their theme is Black Cats Matter. You know, Brewster, I have a black cat, El Gato Negro.
Yes.
I've talked about him before on the show.
And, yes.
He's almost like a dog. Any stranger that comes in my house, he just runs and jumps right on him.
Yes.
You're right about them being sweet.
I'm telling you. I've owned several, or co-owned several black cats over the years, and they're just wonderful. They're delightful, sweet animals.
Yeah, I had an issue with my cable television, and the cable guy was over once, and my cat, El Gato Negro, jumped on his shoulder while the guy's trying to fix the cable, and the guy's like, what am I supposed to do over here? I'm like, he's friendly. He's a ninja. Well, what do you want from me?
He was trying to hold the flashlight, apparently.
August 17th. It was today. I think we all remember this. In 1998.
Why today doesn't suck.
President Bill Clinton testifies before a grand jury. He becomes the first sitting president to testify before the Office of Independent Counsel as the subject of a grand jury investigation. And the testimony came after a four-year investigation into Clinton and his wife Hillary's involvement in several scandals. You know, in 1998, this is when we thought Bill Clinton was the biggest liar out of the couple.
Right. Is that where he said, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Hillary, not a single time, never?
He said that because of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he said, I love the hole in the donut.
Yeah, there are all kinds of accusations of sexual harassment, potentially illegal real estate deals, suspected cronyism. And you think Trump's having a tough time right now, involved in the firing of White House travel agency personnel. Kenneth Starr was the independent prosecutor. He then uncovered the affair. While he was looking into all of those other things,
right,
that's when he uncovered the affair between Bill Clinton and the White House intern, Monica Lewinsky.
Speaking of the President of the United States, I have his comments about Aretha Franklin. We'll jump into that in a little bit. It was on this date, August 17th, in 1999.
Why today doesn't suck.
Led Zeppelin topped a chart of a different kind. Britain's most bootleg musicians with 384 bootleg titles seized over the past 25 years. And by the way, none of them are any good.
Yeah.
I'm not a big I'm not a big fan of, you know, I love Led Zeppelin as much or more than anybody. But the quality is not recorded in some guy's pants. In my pants. No, I just that's just not me, you know. Oh, here's the one I wanted. Happy heavenly birthday, speaking of Massachusetts and Boston specifically, in a kind of a roundabout way, born on this date in 1949.
Why today doesn't suck.
Happy heavenly birthday to Boston drummer Sib Hashian.
Sibby.
Your pal.
I played golf with him.
Yes.
Good guy. And if you're doing birthdays.
Yes.
Born 6 years before Sib Hashian. Happy birthday, actor Robert De Niro. I like his work, but
Bobby.
He's kind of a loon when he's not in the movies.
Yeah, but who doesn't fit into that category?
Hey, August 17th, it was today in 1987.
Why today doesn't suck.
Adolf Hitler's last living henchman died.
How
about that? And in 1987, that's a long time after World War II, Rudolf Hess, Nazi leader Adolf Hitler's former deputy, is found strangled to death in Spandau Prison in Berlin at the age of 93. Apparently the victim of suicide. Boy, those Nazis, they don't even kill themselves normally. How many people kill themselves by strangling themselves?
Exactly.
Doesn't happen that often.
On this date, August 17th, this was a big one. August 17th, 1991.
Why today doesn't suck.
Nirvana films the video for Smells Like Teen Spirit in Culver City, California. The video cost less than $50,000 to make. I could have guessed $5,000. It led MTV to favor alternative bands in place of pop metal bands. And we've talked about that, how in 1989, 1990, at the headquarters of Columbia Records, is it Warrant? Is that how the story goes? You know, Warrant, there was nobody bigger than Warrant. And they just walked into Columbia Records headquarters, Warrant this, Warrant that. One day they walk in and they see Alice in Chains, where Warrant used to be. And it was like the beginning of the end.
Their late singer, Janie Lane, said, "I knew it was over then."
Yep.
And finally, August 17th. It was today in 1978.
Why today doesn't suck.
A balloon crosses the Atlantic. The Double Eagle 2 completes the first transatlantic balloon flight when it lands in a barley field near Paris, France, 137 hours after lifting off from Maine. Imagine that, getting in a hot air balloon in Maine and the next thing, and then going all the way over the Atlantic Ocean, and then you're in Paris, France.
No.
You got to have a set of stones on you, a set of cool yachts to do that.
Yes, I don't have that.
And that's why, well.
Go ahead.
I didn't say anything.
You can't break yourself of that habit, can you?
I
need to get like the invisible fence, where you wear the little collar, and you get too close to saying that, and I hit a button, and it's like, you get like a slight correction. And that's the segment that we call.
You're watching News 12 at 10 with Annie Stensrud.
No. We actually call it.
Why today doesn't suck.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. According to the National Enquirer, the American princess, Duchess Meghan Markle.
The actress.
Yeah, I like her a lot. Well, supposedly her father is now living with a drag queen. Well, big deal. So is Prince Charles, isn't he? Oh, no, wait, that's Camilla. Confused there. All right, coming up, there's a couple of politicians in trouble for saying some things they shouldn't have said. We're going to give you those details coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford. This story is something else. 1 week ago today, at about 9 a.m., so almost exactly 1 week ago today, this guy is getting gas. He's putting gas in his car on Claiborne Avenue. Another guy walked up to him and asked him for a dollar, which happens here in New Orleans all the time. While he was asking him for a dollar, the man who asked for the dollar stole the wallet from the man who was putting gas in his car and then started to run down Claiborne Avenue. Well, the guy chased him. And he chased him. And he caught him. And then proceeded to beat the living hell out of him for 5 minutes until a couple of witnesses finally got over there and they pulled the man off of the wallet thief. An ambulance came. The wallet thief was pronounced dead. And now, the man who had his wallet stolen is in jail on a manslaughter charge. The guy's name is Simon Morris. He lives with his longtime girlfriend and their young small child. He works at B.B. King's, the blues club. And everybody he works with likes him. His lawyer is trying to get his $150,000 bond lowered so he can get out of the Orleans Parish Prison 2.0 so he could go back to work and support his longtime girlfriend and his young child. They haven't done that yet. In my opinion, Brewster, this is just my opinion, and you know what I'm going to say.
Street justice with John Osterlund. Osterlund.
I think the wallet thief got what he deserved. If he didn't want to get beaten to death, he should not have stolen Simon Morris's wallet. You know, this is going to go to court. I don't think you're going to be able to find 12 jurors that are going to be able to say, convict this guy of manslaughter and send him to prison. The guy had his wallet stolen. He chased the perp down, caught him. And I know you might be thinking, okay, punch him a couple of times, take your wallet back, and then leave. But he didn't. He just kept punching and punching and punching until, again, it lasted about 5 minutes because a couple of witnesses came over because they heard the thief screaming, stop beating me, stop beating me. And then the witnesses got over there and they pulled Simon Morris off of the wallet thief. The wallet thief was dead.
All right, let me get this straight. So in Osterlund land.
Well, New Orleans, actually.
Petty, I'll continue. Petty theft. No, in Osterlund land. We're going to get to the bottom of this. In Osterlund land, I don't know how much money we're talking about, but we will categorize this as petty theft. All right?
Well, if it was your wallet, it wouldn't be petty.
No, we're talking about the amount in the wallet. This, the whose wallet is has no bearing. Because justice is blind, right?
It's supposed to be.
Will you let me finish? In Osterlund land, petty theft, purse snatching, wallet grabbing is punishable by death. Yes or no?
If the guy didn't want to get beaten to death, he should not have stolen
that
guy's wallet.
That's not a yes or no answer.
And Brewster, in your wallet, you might, let's say he only had 20 bucks in there.
I'd love to have 20 bucks in my wallet.
But what if his ATM card was in there? He had credit cards in there. He had other things in there. I mean, having your wallet stolen or lost is a pain in the ass.
Is having your wallet stolen in Osterlund land, regardless of what's in it, is it punishable by death? Is it punishable by street justice being beaten to death on the street?
Well, no,
there is no well. It's yes or no. It's real clear. You have two answers. And you want to waffle and say, you got a debit card in there.
I'll say no, it shouldn't be a death sentence. But if you steal someone's wallet from a guy who's putting gas in his car.
On Claiborne Avenue, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so in that zone, what is that, 70119 maybe? Okay, so you're going to make exceptions in certain hot zip codes, you racist piece of trash.
Hey, the guy, Simon Morris, happens to be white, and the guy who died, Kerwin Duncan, I'm just guessing he's black. I don't know.
Now, why would you guess he's black?
Kerwin? You know any?
I'm going to ask you again. Why would you guess he's black? There are all kinds of names. Well, you are. Would you please pass by HR on your way out today?
Look.
Just read the pamphlet. Just read it. Just read the pamphlet.
If the guy didn't want to die, he should not have stolen this guy's wallet.
That is nowhere in the pamphlet. When you go down and read the HR department intercom pamphlet, it does not say anything about debit card. Your wallet stolen. It doesn't say that.
He's looking up to 40 years in prison now.
And we don't discriminate based on perception of who you are or who your father was based on your name. There are all kinds of names.
No, and it doesn't matter what color any of these people were. One guy robbed another guy of his wallet. The guy chased him down and beat him to death.
Case closed.
You know, there was a time in
Judge
this country.
Judge Osterlund has spoken.
There was a time in this country where they'd say, well, he shouldn't have stole the guy's wallet.
Well, there was a time in this country where we didn't understand that germs could kill us, too, Dr. Lister.
Germs and stealing someone's wallet could kill us.
Yes, Dr. Fleming.
But, boy, I can't think of a jury that would convict this guy and send him away. I mean, now he's got a little kid. He's got his longtime girlfriend that are by themselves. He's sitting in Orleans Parish Prison 2.0.
Might I mention that it says a jury of your peers, not a jury of your clones? They can't all be like you.
All right. It's just a distinct. That's all I have to say about this. That's my official commentary. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So all the headlines the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board has made over the last year and a half, last 2 years, out of all the headlines they've made, you know, when it rains, the city floods, the pumps aren't working, or the pumps are off, they overcharge people. There's many people who are fighting with the Sewage and Water Board because they've been overcharged.
Well, famously, that day in August last year where much of the city had significant ponding and flooding, if you want to call it that, when challenged on the answers to their questions, they just changed the answers. Every time they sent somebody out there, they had a different answer.
Just like they guess at people's water bills and they always guess high. Well, they're in the headlines again, the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board, because a few of their high-ranking officials just got big raises, pay raises. It's the last thing you would think that they deserve. These pay raises are coming amid very rough financial times for the board. A $45,000 pay raise for Sharon Judkins. Her salary goes from $130,000 a year to $175,000 a year. A $20,000 pay raise for Ronald Doucette and Valerie Rivers. Their salaries just went from $130,000 a year to $150,000 a year. And there are a few more. These people with the way the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board has been performing over the last few years, this is almost like they're robbing the taxpayers of Orleans Parish. They're robbing them. These people should be arrested for getting raises like this.
The question I have is, are they hiring?
Yeah, right. Coming up next, a couple of politicians taking some heat right now for things they shouldn't have said. Stay tuned for that on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock.
You know, yesterday we were talking about the Roger Waters concert, and you mentioned earlier today about Robert De Niro and how we were talking about
their politics getting in their way.
Well, but yeah, you mentioned how he had gained weight for Raging Bull, like 80 or 90 pounds or whatever. I said that. And then you went right to, but his politics and everything. And, of course, I maintain, and I clearly say it the same way, and it's kind of rewarding to me when a word or a phrase that I use turns up when a listener uses the same word or phrase when we get a letter. I say a letter. I need to do this and push that.
You gotta go check the mailbox?
Let's see. It's a little dusty in there. Yeah. Well, what is in the mailbox? Good night, Earth!
Letters.
Emails.
Oh, we get letters.
And emails.
We get your letters every day.
Not every day.
Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out.
Huh?
Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
When was the last time you wrote a letter? Put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, and then actually mailed it?
No, the question is, when's the last time you have? Because your question is loaded, because what you're trying to say is that what's the last time you've done it? Huh?
No, I think most people don't write letters anymore.
So the email, and I can't really I don't want to, the email is from I think it's a business, and I don't want to include, it's not fair to include the business, so it's just a listener writes, I am against people who are at work doing their job, using their job as a platform to share their political bent. I believe it is a well-known aspect of most professions to keep politics and religion to off hours. It is not the onus of the person who is going to a concert, football game, or theater production to know when to go or not to go to any entertainment based on political stances. The onus is upon the entertainer to entertain with the music, play, or sport, while on the job and keep the political speak or action out of the job. If you want to say the onus is on the person attending because of freedom of speech, then every person who spouts hate speech on social media against their boss, the First Lady, a Black, a Muslim, a Jew, an Asian, a Hispanic, or a polka-dotted bug-eyed alien should have the freedom of speech at their job and not be fired. You can't have it both ways. Now, this is directly related to what it actually came from is you and I both attended the Roger Waters show last July of last year, 2017.
And we were talking about how appropriate is it for him to smash the president, Donald Trump,
both in song, both in music and in word, and in having the giant pig and vomiting caricatures of Donald Trump as part of the show. And I maintain, and this really, the whole gist of this came from the people who decided after a few songs to exit the Roger Waters show.
Because
they didn't like the Trump bashing.
Politics,
and I said, the onus is upon you, especially with someone with a 50-year history of political statement like a Roger Waters. And I still maintain this letter, notwithstanding, I still maintain that my basic point is don't go to a show and then not agree with the information and then leave and complain.
You should have an idea of what you're going to see.
I think so. Because it was, remember, I showed you like a video long before I think we even bought tickets for, I bought tickets for Roger Waters. A video showing the Donald Trump, the giant.
And I still say we have to revisit that Annie Stendrud bit.
I think we should have her on the show.
That was a good video we had.
That's approaching 8 years ago.
Wow, time flies.
No, not 8 years. What year is this? It'll be 7 years in December, I think.
Something like that.
We'll get her on the show.
Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Ginty's next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again Monday morning around 6. Have a great weekend. Bayou, 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.